That would be, oh man, there. Then I don't have to yell at everybody. I could be the gentle pastor instead of the yelling pastor. Well, again, thanks for joining us. As I was saying, whoo, winter making a final push, showing what it's made of. And it's kind of nice to have one more opportunity to put the flannel on and put some wood in the fireplace before we move on to those 80 degree temperatures a week from now. That's California. It's so dynamic. It's so unpredictable. But we're so glad to be here and glad that you joined us today. And again, happy birthday to Kathy. Kathy right there. There's Kathy. Birthday lady today. Happy birthday. Yeah, May's full of a lot of anniversaries and birthdays. So we're so glad that you joined us today. So if you're able to, let's stand together and we'll pray and praise the Lord. And then you're welcome to relax and enjoy our time together. So thank you, Jesus, for giving us a moment today, for giving us a dry, warm, comfortable place to meet. Lord, as your church gathers together here in Julian and throughout the world, God, we ask that your word would go forth. And Lord, that would be the word of life, God, as people believe on you, Jesus, today. And Lord, for those of us who have known you, Lord, let us grow closer to you in a time like this, God, as we gather to, again, pray and praise the Lord and read your word and enjoy fellowship. Lord, all these things will grow us closer to you and to one another. So we ask your blessing upon our time. Guard our hearts and minds. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, buy what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us, whoever believes in him will live forever. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him for the wonders of his love, his amazing love. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting God so loved the world.
Good morning, Lord. We give you all thanks and praise this morning. We ask you, Lord, just to receive the praises of your people as an offering, Lord, to you. You are so worthy of so much more, Lord, but we come before you with our hearts and our minds this morning, our very will, and ask that you would teach us to walk in the freedom that is your truth, that is you. Lead us by your precious spirit this morning, Jesus. In your name we pray.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he, and together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he, and together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory.
It's rising up. All around is the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up. All around is the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing, everyone sings. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory.
The earth is filled with his glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. and all will see how great is a God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is a God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory empower me. To you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name.
Oh, dear Lord, we are in awestruck wonder of you. It's all about you, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory. We lay our lives down, Lord, knowing that you are the only one worthy of our adoration, the only one worthy to follow, the only one worthy to stay just completely faithful to you, for you never let us down. You're always working on our behalf. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just receive what you have for us this morning. Fill Anth by your Spirit to just speak, Lord. We pray that you would soften our hearts to receive, open our ears to hear. Lord Jesus, thank you for your very goodness just bestowed upon us day after day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Have one thing to say. Why don't you greet one another before we continue on? That would be great. Good morning. There you go. How's that? Hey, this is your 2 minutes to grab some tea or coffee. Say hi to somebody really quick before we continue on. Or just take your jacket off, anything you'd like to do. Thanks, OB. All righty. Wow. Month of May 1st, Sunday of the month, of course. So we will be enjoying our time of communion at the end of the service. Save it for then. And again, we're in our post-Easter time. And I, again, want to thank Ken for sharing the message last week as he preached about three places that are significant in our lives. Again, the first being Bethel, the place of salvation where we came to know the Lord. And when eternal life began for us right here and now as we trusted in Jesus. And then again, we return to Bethel, as Ken said over and over again, to grow in Christ. We come back to that place maybe to remember what the Lord did in our lives. And then there's the second place Ken preached about was Jericho. And that is the place where our faith is tested. Because honestly, faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. So the Lord allows us to go through these trials and temptations and things like that, where we learn to cry out to God for help. And we begin to depend upon the Lord instead of ourselves in situations where otherwise we would have just, through our own resources, tried to manage them. But now we cry out to the Lord. And finally, Ken preached about Jordan, that place of surrender and obedience to God's word, God's way, God's will. And so, Ken, I sure appreciate you bringing the message last week. And today in our post-Easter reading of the first 14 verses of the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, the disciples return to Bethel. They return to that place where they first encountered Jesus, which really was the Sea of Galilee, or what is known as the Sea of Tiberias, or Lake Gennesaret. They're all synonymous. And 3 years prior, there was a moment when, of course, the disciples were fishing because that was their trade. Peter was seemed to be the captain of the boat. John seemed to be the businessman who handled all the transactions and things like that, but they were fishing there. And Jesus calls out from the shoreline, "Hey, launch your boat out into the deep water. Let down your nets for a catch." And this is in Luke chapter 5. And Peter says, "Well, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And that continued for the next 3 years as they were with Jesus. And that brings us to John chapter 21. Again, this is our post-Easter message, kind of some closure after our climactic moment as Jesus has risen and we celebrate the risen Christ. And then, of course, he commands us to go and make disciples of all peoples. So we come to, again, John chapter 21, and this is going to be kind of a what you might call a deja vu moment for the disciples. So Lord, bless again the reading of your word. Thank you for giving us a moment to be together like this, God, to gather as brothers and sisters, Lord. And we ask that you might, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, allow us to understand these things that we read and then to ingest them and then, Lord, to share them, Lord, with a dying, dark, deceived world. Lord, let us bring the light, love, and life of Christ, Jesus. That's what you've called us to do. So help us now, Lord, in this short time we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Gospel of John, chapter 21. After these things, and of course, after what things? Well, after the resurrection, after his appearance to Mary Magdalene, after his appearance to the disciples in the upper room, after his appearance to Thomas, also in the upper room 8 days later, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we're going to go with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" Or, "Boys, have you caught anything?" basically. And they answered him, "No." And that's a rare thing right there, by the way. When a fisherman just gives you a no answer instead of saying, "Well, there's about 10 that got away, maybe." They just say no. So they're being very honest here. And Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so I guess until that point, they had cast the net on the wrong side. So Jesus said, cast it on the right side. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in the net because of the abundance of fish. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which we can assume to be John, the beloved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. It's kind of a funny image, really. I'm just guessing that Peter, again, in his mind must be thinking, you know, John beat me in a foot race to the tomb, but I've got him in an open water swim. I'm going to take him. So he jumps in, and he begins to freestyle towards Jesus to the shoreline there. Verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. In today's reading, again, which is perhaps 10 days to 2 weeks following the resurrection, we see, again, Peter and John return to the Sea of Galilee to go fishing, something that was quite familiar to them. It's what they did before they left all to follow Jesus. And quite unexpectedly, they have, again, what we would call a deja vu moment as their nets are filled once again in obedience to the word of Jesus from the shoreline. And John, again, probably recollecting the moment from 3 years ago, realizes there's only one person who could do such a thing, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. And so although he can't maybe see him from 200 yards away, he knows. He says, it's the Lord. It's got to be Jesus. And again, I really love it that Peter reacts quite differently than the first time this happened. Whereas instead of falling down in shame, Peter, again, almost immediately jumps in the water to get to be with Jesus. And again, as they get to the shore and Jesus has breakfast all ready for them, fish and bread, perhaps subtly reminding the disciples what they had done maybe a couple years prior when they were participants in feeding the 5,000, again, with two fish and five loaves, the things they did with Jesus, as opposed to the things they were trying to do, again, on their own strength now, they get nothing. With Jesus, man, they got it all. And so I think Jesus is reminding them, giving them a gentle, subtle reminder that he's called them now to be fishers of men, no longer fishers of fish, but to be those who will go full time, you might say, sharing the gospel. And again, none of them asks, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. In September of 1979, at the beginning of my sophomore year at Fountain Valley High School, through a series of what I can only describe as divinely orchestrated events, as I was beginning to quit everything familiar to me after failing in so many areas, I accepted an invitation from the coach to join the wrestling team. Since the season didn't start for a couple months, I had some time to get to know the guys. And we trained in the off season, of course. And two guys that got my attention almost immediately from the start were two brothers, John and Carl Ogeneku. They were amazing gymnasts, divers, and surfers. And these guys could pull off multiple flips from the high dive when high school still had a high dive. Again, Fountain Valley High School, 4,200 students in 1979. These guys could literally run up the walls of the gym. They could hit it at an angle and just kind of run 8 feet up and then come down. They were superhuman, it seemed like to me. And again, when we would go 2 miles to Huntington Beach, jump on their surfboards, man, they were just naturals. Hawaiian, Carl and John Oganeku. They were very lighthearted guys. The younger of the two brothers was Carl. And although he was a year older than me, we had a guitar class together. And no surprise, he was also a really good guitar player. And by his song choices and the way that he spoke to me, it didn't take long before I realized this guy's one of them born again Christians. And he began to share and talk about Jesus Christ in a way that I would talk about baseball or football. He had such enthusiasm and simplicity. And he explained to me what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And needless to say, I was curious about that. I had grown up in a religious household and attended a religious school, a Catholic school. And so I had a knowledge of God, and I thank God for that. But I didn't know what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I just didn't have that. Well, wrestling season started, and I soon found out that there was one thing that John and Carl were not lighthearted about, and that was wrestling. When it came to wrestling, they were methodical, disciplined, focused. And Carl had a personality unlike any other guy on the team. He worked hard. He never called attention to himself. He was so humble, so respectful. And most intriguing to me was that when he would win a wrestling match, which he did quite often, instead of boasting and being kind of cocky like a lot of the other guys, he'd point his index finger to the sky and just say, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And this is 1979, mind you. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? It's the Lord. I had never heard anyone say that. And so, again, he was my friend. So I asked him, I said, what does it mean when you say that? It's the Lord. And he said, any good thing, any victory that I have is because of Jesus Christ in my life. He said, win or lose, he gets the glory. And it was so clear, and he was so confident, and so convincing. And wrestling season ended. Now it was 1980. It ended in March. And that in-season intensity gave way to looser and lighter workouts. Yet my curiosity about Jesus Christ continued to grow. And finally, now this happens. In May of 1980, 45 years ago, just a month shy of my 16th birthday, I went to an outdoor concert, and I shared this before. I don't know why it's just flooding me right now, but went to an outdoor concert at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, heard the gospel preached, the good news of forgiveness of all my sins by putting my faith in Jesus Christ and the gifts of salvation guaranteed. And I answered that invitation to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I stood up. I walked forward amongst hundreds of people at this outdoor concert. And I prayed. And just like that, I was born again at 16 years old. Not even 16. I was 15 going on 16. And my first thought was, I can't wait to get back to school to tell Carl what happened. I just couldn't wait. And so I got to school that Monday. And I told Carl, what had happened and how I felt so clean and forgiven. And no surprise, he said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And for the first time, I understood what he meant. I got it now. It's the Lord. And that was my Bethel. That was my place of salvation that Ken preached about last week. And it's where I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it's the place where I would return to over and over for 10 years as I began to grow in my faith in Jesus. There are things in life that we sometimes attribute to our own efforts. We categorize it as something we did, maybe graduating from high school or excelling at a sport, landing a job, getting married, buying a car or a house. And there are other things that happen that we categorize as it's the Lord. So some things, it's me. Other things, it's the Lord. It's God's miraculous power at work. And when we think about Old Testament things like, again, Abraham at 100, Sarah at 85, having a baby. Oh, that'd say, well, that's got to be the Lord. We think about, again, the story of Joseph going from the pit in a cell to the palace. From the pit to the palace, well, that's God's work. That's one of those, that's in that category. We think about Moses parting the Red Sea, the children of Israel marching around Jericho, the walls falling down, and we say, well, that's the Lord. We go to the New Testament, and of course, we do see the Lord. We see Jesus doing miraculous things like walking on water, turning water into wine, healing the sick and the disabled, calming the storm, raising the dead. And John, the beloved disciple, even writes, he says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. So these are faith-building moments. And we might say, well, of course, he was the Lord. It is the Lord. It was Jesus. I'm not the Lord. And that's true. We're definitely not the Lord. But in the book of Acts, as the story goes on, we see similar works being done at the hands of Peter, John, and Paul. For example, in Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read an incident here. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He's begging for money. He can't have a job. He's crippled, and so he asks for help. And so there he was, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, for money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's porch, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look at us so intently as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And it's through faith in his name that this man has been made strong." And again, this is just a version of what Carl would say. It's not me. As the guys would throng around him after a great victory, after Carl would help the guy up that he just pinned, and our team would gather around him, Carl would say, "Man, it's the Lord." You know, always, always deflected the glory, reflected the glory of Christ. And that's basically what Peter and John are doing here, because in the very next chapter, they're called before the Sanhedrin, the rulers, and they say, "By what power are you doing this? What's going on here?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." And so this is a classic example of Peter and John, again, deferring or deflecting the glory, the source, the recognition, the reward, the credits, the blame sometimes that some would want to place upon them and putting it back onto Jesus Christ where it belonged. And again, it's their way of saying it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And Luke records a similar moment, maybe 30 years later in Acts chapter 14, when this time it's Paul and Barnabas. And they encounter a man who was, again, crippled from his mother's womb, it says. And Paul, again, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, tells him to get up and walk. And he leaps up too. And what do the people do? They say, the gods have come down to us. They say, Barnabas, they called Zeus. Paul, they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And they begin to sacrifice to Paul and Hermes. And again, to Paul and Barnabas. And again, Paul and Barnabas, they tear their clothes in agony. And they say, no, don't do this. We are mere mortal men just like you. He says, we are trying to tell you to turn from these things to the living God. And then Paul goes on to preach Christ to them. So again, whether it was Peter and John, Paul and Barnabas, or Carlo Ganeku, they all said, no, it's not me, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. They don't want to touch the glory. They want to reflect the glory of Christ, but they don't want to take it upon themselves in any way. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, speaking about, again, deflecting the glory, reflecting the glory of Christ, he says this. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have, he said, as we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, the good news of Jesus is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He says this, therefore, we have this treasure, the treasure of Christ, in jars of clay, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Man, we're just the box. We're just the jar. The real treasure is Jesus Christ. And again, that's what my friend, thank you, Jesus, was conveying to us. And man, so many guys in our team came to Christ in 1979 and 80. And man, something was happening. And that same thing that was happening then, again, I am always hopeful will happen now, that these young people, man, would be drawn to Jesus Christ. And that's where all these symptoms, man, will begin to go away. Oftentimes, the world systems want to treat the symptoms, but they don't see that the problem is a heart issue. That's where it is. And Jesus Christ, and he is the master of hearts. He's the king of hearts. He can do that. So take your choice, whether it's glory to God, praise the Lord, it's the Lord. They're all synonymous. And this is the posture and the response that we want to develop. We have to develop in our everyday lives, not waiting for the big miracle moment, but just everyday things. And we've all got them. Case in point, Colin, our dear Colin, shared with me yesterday at breakfast that he was invited to a wedding. And he didn't even really know the people much at the wedding. And people began to kind of drop out who were attending that he did know. And he thought to himself, I'm going to attend this thing alone. I don't think I really want to go. And besides, I don't have anything to wear. He begins to kind of talk himself out of this moment. And he comes to church last Sunday. And again, he's got his t-shirt on, you know, believe in God. It's a, again, as he says, he's like a walking billboard. And as he's in church, you know, he says, well, I am going to go. And I'm just going to go. And even though I have nothing to wear, supposedly, I'm going to go for it. And so he drives up to Davis Ranch up on Mesa Grande there. And sure enough, thinking he's all alone, friends come about him and they say, Colin, we're so glad you're here. It's great to see you. And now all of a sudden he's feeling, wow, Lord, this is good. And maybe I'm supposed to be here. And then the wedding ceremony begins and he realizes it's Jesus from the beginning and Jesus to the end. And he's wearing just the right shirt, man. Just the right one. Although he was feeling underdressed, it's just what the Lord had him. And he was able to say, man, that was the Lord. That was one of those God moments. And that's one of probably hundreds we could share if we all testified right now when we say, wow, that was you, Lord. That was you. God gets the glory. There are things that the early church did that we still do today that reminds us of the glory of God, the grace of God, the unmerited, undeserved, unusual, unexpected favor of God that we enjoy, many of us in here. And we are compelled to cry out oftentimes, it's the Lord. And I'm so glad we do that. The day before his crucifixion, Jesus took the Passover elements of unleavened bread and wine to symbolically represent his own shed blood and his battered body offered once and for all for the sins of the world. He took those elements that those young disciples would have related to Moses in the Passover, and he elevated them and embodied them upon himself. And he could do that because he was God. He is God. And he established what we call communion to commemorate or highlight the new covenant in the blood of Christ. What the blood of bulls and goats and lambs could not do, Jesus did in his own body, the writer of Hebrews says. And so in communion, we take these common elements of unleavened bread and unfermented wine, which is grape juice, basically, and we remember Jesus. We put the glory upon Jesus. And instead of just seeing bread and juice, we can say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And it's much like the disciples on the road to Emmaus on the afternoon of Jesus' resurrection. As they journeyed with Jesus, not even knowing really it was Jesus, until it came to pass, Luke chapter 24, verse 30 says, it came to pass as Jesus sat at the table with them that he took bread, he blessed and broke it, he gave it to them, and then their eyes were open and they knew him, but then he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, indeed, the Lord has risen and he's appeared to us and to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And so right now, we get the privilege of having Jesus made known to us in our time of communion. So I want to take a moment as we conclude our service to do that. And since Luke has helped us out so much today with his gospel and with his writing of the book of Acts, I'm going to use Luke chapter 22 for our communion text. And again, as the band comes forward and the ushers come forward to distribute the elements, let's prepare our hearts in prayer and during this song also. And we'll enjoy our time. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us a moment to look at you, Lord. And we see you, again, in the bread, in the juice, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we see you in so many things where we're able to say, it's the Lord. But this is an extra, especially special time, Lord, that we enjoy at the beginning of the month. And so, God, would you examine our hearts, Lord, cause us to confess any sin that we might have that's keeping us from that intimacy with you, Jesus, and with others. And Lord, let us enjoy this time of remembrance of the ultimate sacrifice you made for us once and for all for the sins of the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As healthy oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Thanks, Obi. You take a moment to obtain that bread from the cup, if you could. And again, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And let's do that now together. And Jesus, we do see you in the bread that is broken. As a matter of fact, Jesus, you said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. And Jesus, you satisfy us like nothing else could, nothing else can. And Lord, you knew, Lord, that without your body being offered, Lord, there would be no forgiveness of sins. Because, Lord Jesus, you, as your cousin said, were the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. So, Jesus, you offered your body. As the prophet Isaiah said, you would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. And, Lord, as we pray every communion time, we look forward to that moment, Jesus, when there will be no more pain or death or sorrow or suffering. Those things will be passed away. But, Lord, we do ask even now for just a touch of that healing now, Jesus. Might you touch us in our bodies, God? By our time of communion, would you just give us some healing, Lord, in our minds, Lord, our bodies, our spirit, all these things, Lord, as they meld together, we just want you to calm us and comfort us and touch us and heal us, Jesus. Allow us to press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, please give us just an appetizer of what you're going to do when we get to heaven. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Continuing on, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And let's drink of that juice together now and think about Jesus. And yes, Lord, the wonder of the new covenant of grace, Lord Jesus, again, in your blood. And you knowing that without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sins, Lord. and that the life of the flesh was in the blood, you gave it. You poured it out, Lord Jesus. Again, from your head, from your back, from your sides, from your hands, from your feet. Lord, your blood cleanses us from all our sins, Lord, past, present, and future. So, Jesus, we see you in the bread and the wine, your body, your blood, given for us, Lord, once and for all, for the sins of the world. And then, of course, the story continues. They went out. They sang a hymn, and they went out. Let's stand together as Joe collects those cups, and let's finish with the hymn together.
Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. You will reign, let your glory fill the earth.
You will reign forever,
fill the earth.
You will reign
forever, fill the earth.
You will reign
forever,
you will reign
forever, fill the earth.
You will reign forever,
fill the earth.
You will reign
forever.
You will reign forever.
Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him.
Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Yes, Jesus, we're so glad, Lord Jesus, that you are worthy of our praise, God. You did it all once and for all for the sins of the world, Lord Jesus. And we simply come to you and say, it's the Lord, it's you, Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying as we do every Sunday, Lord, that if there's anybody in our presence today, God, that is yet to receive you as Lord and Savior, that is yet to see you as that, that they might have a moment right now, even right now, Jesus, as they would yield their heart to you, open their heart to you, Lord, and in humility cry out to you in a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I do need you, Lord. I want to see you in a way I've never seen you before. Would you come into my life now, Jesus? I believe on you that when you died on that cross, Lord, it was for me. And Lord, I want to receive that forgiveness, Lord, that healing, that joy, that assurance that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to worry about that anymore, Jesus. And I know there's only one way for that to happen, and that's to put my faith in you, Jesus. So I want to do that right now, and I do it, Jesus. I trust you. With what little I know about you, it's enough to know that you're the Savior, and I'm not, and I need you. So Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins, and I'm even thanking you now, Lord, that I, according to your word, I passed from death to life, that I went from darkness to light in a moment that will last forever. And so, Jesus, I thank you for that. I thank you. And Lord, I continue to pray too for those who know you that are here, that we would go forth from here, Lord, to be the light of the world, reflecting your light, Jesus, not our own light, but your glory, your wonder. and Lord, to be the salt of the earth, Lord, to bring about a thirst for you, God, by our words, by our actions, that people would want to know you, Lord, not us, but you, Jesus. So Lord, I thank you for times like this, Lord, as you build our faith. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you could be seated for a moment. Ken has a few announcements, but I do want to let you know also that, man, if you had that moment of faith in Christ Jesus, hey, while Ken's making his announcements, whatever, just come forward. And I'd love to reassure you and pray with you. We ought to celebrate those great decisions like that. Don't be ashamed of the best decision of your life, and that is coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So again, this is our Sunday practice, but I don't want it to become a mundane thing. I heard a real sad story briefly that a preacher from the United States went to England, and it was Hungary, and he was sharing the gospel there. And as he was sharing the gospel, Hungarians were listening, but 50 Americans came by, 50 college students that were there, and they actually began to taunt and mock this preacher from America. And eventually they went away. And the Hungarians and even some Iranian refugees were there. And they said, you know, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear it. And it reminded me of how we can become so used to hearing the offer of the gospel that we become, and we see it as just routine. And man, I don't want that to be that way for us. We ought to be excited about what the Lord has. And so again, if you came to know Christ, or if you heard the message hundreds of times, don't forsake it. Don't become hardened to the call of Jesus upon your heart. And that's my admonition, my encouragement to you. Let this be a time of salvation for you. So, Ken, I'm going to let you take the announcements from there. I'm going to step aside. Thanks.
All right. Thank you to cleaning crew number one for proving that guys can clean the church efficiently and happily. Thank you to Chris Holman for making our breakfast by the sea. So remember to stop by after there and check that out and indulge yourself in that fish and bread. We have begun our big Christian book and Bible giveaway. Please take a moment after the service to look at the back tables and take some treasures for yourself or your loved ones. If you want to leave a small donation or a large donation or medium-sized donation, in the box, the metal box on the wall by the doors there for our benevolent fund, that would be a blessing. Next Sunday, men, remember, Mother's Day. Do not forget. You have 1 week to prepare, so do not forget. Don't blow it says in here. If you want some examples of how to blow it, come and see me immediately after the service. And then stay tuned for our start dates and times for spring Bible studies coming up soon, I'm assuming in the spring. So that's all the announcements that I have. Remember to check out the birthdays and anniversaries. As Tony said, there are a lot in May. So okay. We'll finish our song and pray and have the guys come up for the offering. So let's pray for that. Lord, we ask now that you bless the offering, make it sufficient. Lord, use all these monies for your glory and for the salvation of others in Jesus' name. Amen.
The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. How great is our God.
do thank you, Lord. You indeed are great beyond what our words could ever express or even our minds could fathom. And Lord, I thank you that we get all eternity to sit in your presence, to serve you. What a great honor that is. Lord, we thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness as we come before your throne of grace with humility, knowing we fall so short, but giving all thanks and glory to you for making a way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, again, come back and enjoy a neat remembrance of the barbecue that Jesus had on the shoreline there with fish and bread. So thanks, Chris, and God bless all of you again for being here today. And make sure you talk to somebody you haven't met before and enjoy the fellowship. See you next Sunday. God bless you.
Drifting seas of doubt, even there your strong right hand has never failed.